Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Again, an absolute honor. I be honored that you have joined the Industrial Talk Podcast to celebrate the women and men of manufacturing, the women and men of industry, and the companies that just plain get it done. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, and boy, are you changing the lives and you're changing the world as we speak, real time, right now. The interview today, no less of an incredible interview. The gentleman is with Hitachi Vantara. His title is SVP, Global Lead Automotive. Pretty good, cool, pretty cool title. Yeah, absolutely. Saad Kanan is his name. That is S-A. Put a little apostrophe, D. You'll find him. He's got a great beard. He's got a great head of hair. He's a handsome man. Big time. All right, let's get it cracking. Unlike me, face for radio. The guy brings, did he bring the truth on just everything innovation. We had this conversation prior to the podcast. We were just sitting there chit-chatting all around that innovation, all around the solutions that are being provided. Just the way industry is changing and how technology is positively impacting the automotive industry. And we take it for granted. I'm just telling you, we take it for granted. I remember as a boy, and I'd have a car. And I remember my mom having a car, my parents having a car, and it just kept on, you know, it just never aligned right. So it just constantly drifted to the left. And that's what they could do. But we just take it for granted that the automotive industry as a whole, globally, produces phenomenal products. Just absolutely. And it's all due to technology and the deployment of technology and the leaders within that manufacturing space embracing technology. And when we were talking to Saad, I mean, there's some really exciting stuff happening on the horizon. And we were just so honored to be able to have him on the podcast. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about, this is an interesting topic because for me personally, innovation is always out there. And the conversation about innovation is out there. And it all gets down to human, right? It gets down to the culture. It gets down to the human individual. I think the technology is the technology. And it really depends on the individual or the culture of the company, the group, individuals, whatever it might be. It always gets down to people, right? But along that same lines, and I think that this is an interesting conversation, Saad is always getting asked, like, all right, cool, technology's great, fantastic stuff, love it. What's the time to value? If I did something today, when will I receive that value? If I did something today, when will it be, you know, market ready? If I did something today, you know, dot, 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 dot. And those are the executive questions that are absolutely being asked. What's my return on the investment? These are absolutely spot on questions to be able to, that you have to ask. And you have to, come on, you have to. But I'm here to tell you that if you align yourself with a company that has a history of success, history of doing it, and definitely Hitachi has a history of success and a history of doing it, I think your likelihood, the likelihood of success for you is improved. It just has to be, right? It just has to be because they do it. The Hitachi's in manufacturing, and then they deploy the technology in their manufacturing footprint too as well. So yeah, they have use cases. Yeah, they have avenues of success. So anyway, that is the way I look at it. So if you're asking those questions, if you're looking for solutions from an enablement point of view in technology, I'm telling you, Hitachi Vantara is the way to go because they're going to have those questions or they're going to have answers for your questions. And if they don't, they're going to find out. And if they find out, they're going to come up with a solution that'll make you a success. Woo! Try to change my mind on that one, big time. All right, let's get on with the interview. Now, this is truly an interview with the implications of paper and pencil. You got to take notes because Assad is amazing. And here's a shameless plug to Assad. I want more because what we talked about prior to the podcast, we didn't cover all of it. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. As I look down on my notes, I just kept on writing and writing and writing and writing, and you keep on writing and writing and writing because you are committed to collaborating. You're committed to innovation. You're committed to, of course, education. And that's what this, you know, Industrial Talk podcast platform is all about. That you distill it all down. It's all about collaboration, innovation, of course, education. Boop, right here. All right, let's get on with the interview. Saad Kanaan, and that's K-A-N-A-N, Senior VP, Global Lead Automotive at Hitachi Aventara. Enjoy the conversation. I did, by the way. Saad, welcome. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I got to tell you, listeners, right now, if you were a fly on the wall, and we've been talking for the past 45 minutes about some of the stuff that we're going to be talking to on this podcast, you would say, yeah, let me listen to it. We're going to be talking about the sort of this digital transformation, this digital journey within the automotive space. And I'm telling you, man, you're in for a big doggone treat. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. Glad to be here, man. Thanks for the time.
I'm telling you, my ears are bleeding because we just went from one value proposition to another value proposition to another great point to an, I mean, it's going to be tough to just sort of, you know, corral this into a succinct doggone podcast because this is so important. This is such an important target. Before we get into that conversation, listeners, you got to listen to this. Your stack card out on LinkedIn is pretty doggone impressive. Can you give us a little background on who you are?
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, so I'm a senior vice president with Hitachi Aventara, and in my current capacity, I manage our automotive practice on a global basis. So we work with clients in this space across the board to enable their business to be more successful by understanding their customer better, by making a better product that's cheaper. And, you know, we will be talking about time to value. We're talking about time to market and all these beautiful buzzwords. We'll explain them and figure out how do we enable them. Software engineer by trade here, Scott.
I'm telling you, man, I think the future's bright. I'm pretty excited about it. Okay, everybody's talking about, okay, COVID. Boy, that was a two-finger death punch. That hurt me. That was something else. But I love the conversation that has evolved as a result of COVID. And right. I think people are talking about what really matters, what really is important. And this is exactly, and I'm really excited. So let's talk a little bit about that automotive, that digital, that things that are trending. And one of the questions I would have is like, yeah, buzzwords, digital this, for, you know, industry 4.0, cloud this, that, other data. I'm an executive. I've got my executive automotive hat on. I don't even know where to start. I know I need to do it. I have no idea where to start. Help us define that.
You talked about a couple of really great critical things here, Scott. COVID and its impact on the industry is really important. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that whole question of where do I start is so important. I'll tell you why. Because a lot of these executives have done that. A lot of them have started. A lot of them have spent millions of dollars on that start. They've chartered POCs that have never gone anywhere, right? They die in the track. And what I tell you as an executive, start with what matters, and that is your KPIs, right? When the industry look at you as an OEM or a first-tier supplier, you've got a stack card of KPIs that you're measured with, right? Start with how you measure your own operations. You know, whether it's OEE or non-value-added activities, first-time quality, first-time capability, whatever it is, you know, transformation cost, the cost of unit of production per vehicle. You got to start with these, right, and figure out what your threshold for each one of those. And then you gotta figure out what's important. What is the most important? What are my three top most important KPIs? And then once we do that and we get a better understanding of that, then we start looking at use cases that is going to enable that, that's gonna propel that into success, right? So, you know, for example, if we're talking about non-value-added activities, figure out what is the white space in my process, how do I eliminate this and make my employees more productive? You know, we then think about, I'm gonna go and look at vision systems that can look at my worker movement and not just look at it, but predict it to ensure that my worker is doing what he or she is supposed to do, right? And, you know, we look at that in sequence or whatever it is, whatever your process looks like, right? If we're looking at first time quality, first time pass, then we're gonna look at things around predictive quality, predictive maintenance of machinery. We're also gonna use those vision systems to figure out the sequence of steps that that employee needs to take in order to install a product and ensure that that product got installed correctly so that the quality of that product is where it needs to be, right? Once we have that landscape of KPIs, here are my KPIs, here are my use cases, then from there, we start thinking about that from a technology perspective.
See, right? And that's good. I want to make sure you listeners understand that. We haven't deployed any technology yet. We're just saying, here, these KPIs, these three are important to your business. And you agree, and everybody shakes their head, and they're saying, yep, that's important, that's important, that's important. Great. Let's talk a little bit about some examples, use cases that we can apply to these particular types. We haven't even begun to say, all right, now let's start talking about the technology to enable that. Is that correct?
So you're absolutely right. So if you're looking at this as a pyramid, if the listeners are looking at this as the pyramid, right? You know, the top of your pyramid is really your business KPIs. Layer down from that is what we talked about as use cases. And at Hitachi Vantara, we've already deployed over 30 use cases in the automotive industry successfully at a number of OEMs. We've defined 179 standard use cases that we're in the process of deploying. So the approach is a top-down approach.
Yes.
Think about it that way.
Yes.
And then, you know, the bottom of your pyramid is the various layers of technology and business applications that sit on top of that technology, right, to enable, you know, to implement the use cases and enable the KPIs, right? So if you look at that pyramid, your approach is always top-down, but your implementation is bottoms-up, right?
Because yes.
You have to understand with the enabling technology, I got to be able to, you know, have wide area network, local area network. I have to have Wi-Fi, and I have to have both devices that have sensors on them. I got to be able to get the data out, standardize the data, and then build the analytics on top of that data, right? So that's a given, right? These are components that have to exist, right?
Yes.
So approach top down, implementation bottoms up. Does that make sense?
I like that. Oh, absolutely. It's crystal clear. And what me as an executive, you get it. I'm thinking about, okay, I like this. I see it. And the conversations that I would have with you and your team would be like, here's a gap. We need to address this. We see the value. Here it is. See, it's right in front of you. But these are the gaps. This is how we want to approach it. And for me, I feel warm and fuzzy because I see it. I'm not just sitting going, hey, this digital journey is important. Let's go. And then, you know, somebody produces and nothing is actionable. And when you start to align it with the KPIs, that means something to me. That's bottom line value. That is great doggone wisdom right there, baby.
That's absolutely
now,
correct.
So we got all that. We got the pyramid. We got this bottom up down, top down, all of that good stuff. I want to know when I start reaping benefits, baby.
Yeah.
When do I start putting money in my pocket because it's great?
And that's a great question. That's absolutely a great question. I'm going to answer that question differently because there's absolutely, you know, anybody that tells you there is, you know, a standard timeline, I'm going to start today and I'm going to give you this much money in this time frame. You know what?
I'm going to tell you, they do. They're out there. Just FYI.
I wouldn't entertain any more meetings with that individual.
That's just wisdom right there, folks.
You know,
wisdom.
It's as simple as that. Nobody can tell you that, right? And I will tell you, I'll give you probably at least 10 reasons why nobody can tell you that. First and foremost, what we call technical debt. Listen, I mean, nobody knows how to make cars like these OEMs. They've been doing it for a very long time. They have extremely intelligent, very process savvy individuals working for them, right? But listen, at the end of the day, what we're talking about here when we talk about digital transformation, we're not talking about, you know, the process of a roll of steel on one end that becomes a vehicle on the other end, right?
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the data and what happens to that product as it's moving that cycle. And what do I do with that data as I collect it, right?
Huge.
This whole concept of the cyber, right? So now we're talking about how do I marry the cyber with the physical,
yeah,
right? To make a product better, faster, cheap, right? So there's technical debt in these factories.
And I want to make sure it's clear. Technical death, D-E-A-T-H. That's interesting.
It's actually debt. It's debt. D-E-B-T.
D-E-B-T. Debt. Yeah. Technical debt.
Right. And what we mean by that is, you know, some of these factories don't even have Wi-Fi. Some of them don't.
Yes.
Some of them have machines that are end of life. I can't really pull data off them. I can get indicators that give me, you know, red, green, yellow to indicate
state they're in. Dashboard type thing. Red bad, exactly. Yellow, so, green good.
So anybody that tells you, hey, you know, I can come in and do this, that, and everything else in between, well, you don't even know where that factory is from a readiness perspective, right? But your starting point should always be the use case that gives you the fastest time to value, right? So what we do
at
Hitachi Vantara, when we engage with our customers in this space, listen, I'll bring my use cases that we've implemented at other OEMs to the table. So I'm not starting from scratch, right? And I'll, you know, we'll have the conversation. Listen, you know, client XYZ was at this level of readiness or at this level of maturity. We started here. Here's the value they saw in this period of time, right? And we'll look at that customer's variables that govern that, and we'll make a decision on, you know, we'll throw all of these use cases on a quadrant that has time and value on the X and the Y axis, and the ones that deliver the most value in the shortest time are the ones we start with. You know, it could be worker safety, it could be energy management, it could be predictive maintenance, it could be, you know, process excellence. It could be a bunch of different things. I can't tell you what that looks like.
No, but you're approaching it in such a way, and I can see everybody in the room saying, yep, I get it. We want that one. Let's start demonstrating value on that particular point, whatever it might be. That, I would imagine, creates greater unity, greater adoption, and being able to, you know, the big thing is delivering on it, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
right. You got to deliver, baby.
And Scott, listen, one thing that is critical is, you know, you have to have at least the first three use cases lined up in priority. And here's why. You know, you asked me a very important question when we started the conversation around privacy, right?
Yeah.
You will, in certain instances, start executing on a use case, but for whatever reason, you may face obstacles that prevent you from, you know, proceeding. I'm going to give you an example. One of my customers, we started with worker safety, right? We said worker safety is going to be the first use case we deploy, right? You know, we defined the architecture, everything looked great. You know, we started working on it. Then their legal department got a hold of it and they said, hell no, you're not doing this. Not a chance, right? Privacy laws in the United States of America prevent you from doing that at this point, right? We can't, right? So at that point, you know, we had to go back and say which one is next in the line.
I was right? going to say.
We just moved to that immediately. Right. We didn't have to go charter a new set of exercises to figure that out. So that's important. Another thing that's really critical is you get to use as much of what you have from an investment standpoint as humanly possible. Most of the manufacturers in the space have invested time and money into big data platforms, into, you know, into networks, into sensors, into whatever it is, right? You know, anybody that comes and tells you, oh, you gotta rip that off and go do something else, you know, is probably either have the wrong technology for you and or is approaching it, you know, wrong, because that's gonna end up costing, it's gonna turn into an IT project, right? And we know how that goes.
Yeah, and I wanna make sure that you expand a little bit. So it's an IT project versus there are people out on the field, on the floor, doing the work, and they understand, you know, the ins and outs of this particular, and then you get the IT and it becomes an IT project. And then somebody comes to me and says, Scott, you got to do this, but I'm on the floor and that doesn't work and you didn't ask me.
That's right.
The problem.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's as old as cars and computers are, right? You know, when it becomes an IT project and somebody, you know, goes in a lab somewhere, develops a bunch of code, throws it over the wall, yeah. It never gets adopted. You just throw a bunch of money in the trash, basically.
Right? It's true.
So you gotta use what you've got, or at least, you know, utilize as much of what you've used as humanly possible. And the other thing, when we're talking about where do I start, is you mentioned something super critical, Scott, when we were talking, that most organizations sometimes don't take into consideration, which is two things: change management, yeah, and, you know, fundamentally as part of that, a skill gap analysis. You know,
yes,
again, you're bringing new technologies, new processes, new ways of doing things to the table. You have got to understand where your workforce is from a skill set perspective, and ensure that you understand the gap. So you either augment it by bringing in new people, or you put in training programs that bring your workforce into, you know, an appropriate skill set level, so that, you know, a couple of things. You don't want external providers maintaining these solutions forever, because it's expensive, man.
Yeah, it's cheap. That's, you know, not cheap, that's for sure.
You know, and in a lot of instances, you're talking about competitive advantage type of IP that you don't want exposed to the outside world. So you gotta have your people doing that, right? So, you know, that skill gap analysis is important. Change management in terms of adoption is very critical, and hence why stakeholder analysis and involving, you know, the business in these types of projects early on in the process is so critical.
See, and what's interesting, and we talked about this offline, and we're talking about the speed at which all of this stuff is happening is blistering, because you're around that water cooler, you're talking the talk with all the other people, you're just looking at how the technology, the innovation is just really in a positive way impacting my business. And when we start talking about, hey, collect that data, get that data, it doesn't just mean collect that data, is how do you create tactics from that data, the analytics, because once again, it's a people thing. We're talking change management, but now I'm collecting data. I want data to give me the ability to be able to say, yep, I'm making that decision, and give me the confidence to be able to do that. The data is like a tsunami. It's just like, where do I start there? How? You leverage those use cases?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? So, you know, you have to define your data strategy and how that data is going to be used. And, you know, from our perspective, when we talk about that conversation, again, we start with, listen, you know, what actionable insights are you looking for, right? And you know, we overemphasize that, and we overemphasize the word actionable here. And the reason why is, okay, so it's great that you're going to tell me that my welding robot is going to run out of oil, or is going to overheat, and, you know, it's going to go down, 2 days from now. So what, right? Now I want to understand the impact of that on my production run, right? My cycle time and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I want to understand, what can I do? What actions do I need to take to prevent that from happening, right? So that's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about I collected data And I just gave you some intelligence as to, you know, how that, how that OT device is operating. I want to take that to the next level and understand the impact of that on my operations, number one. But also I want to understand what actions do I need to take to prevent that from happening.
And the dynamics associated with just that question, with that example, is like, okay, that's an important component to my manufacturing. I see that it's whatever, it's looking yellow, possibly going red. We've got to figure out what that action needs to be. But you can also look at it, how it impacts other parts of your manufacturing, be able to strategically be able to pull that asset out, do what it is right on time at the right and minimal impact to your operation. But to do that, you got to collect that data.
You're absolutely right. And there's, you know, there's a very important dynamic here, Scott, that builds that partnership between IT and the business, because IT is not going to understand what actions need to be taken, right? IT understands how I'm going to collect that data and what kind of analysis do I need to give you, but they need the business to define what those actions need to be. Right. And that forces that partnership to exist between the two organizations to ensure that the initiative is successful.
Yeah. And which is real important, especially today. If you're going down that road, if you're going down that journey, you're going to have to be arm in arm with IT and operations to be able to have that conversation. Because right now, and to your point, you're linking the cyber with the physical, right? Yeah. And you're removing that wall and recognizing that the physical, the people out on the field, in the operations, there is a huge cyber component, and they have to be, you know, hand in hand, and it never stops. It never stops. Let's just put pen to paper. I'm doing one thing. I'm testing this out. You've given me the great reason why I've got my KPIs. I've identified the really sort of low hanging fruit for benefit reasons.
Right.
When can I start seeing some value?
Well, so based on what we've seen in the marketplace, right? What we try to do is we try to show value to the business within a 16-week time period, right? You know, that is that a silver or magic bullet, whatever you want to call it? It's not, right? And, you know, again, this is based on 30 plus use cases we've implemented at various OEMs, you know, in the past, probably since 2017. That's what we've seen. We've seen, you know, we'll run that exercise of defining the KPIs and the use cases within the first about, you know, four weeks, defining what that low-hanging fruit, then within the first 16 weeks, we'll deliver the first use case. What we see is delivering that first use case, and then Yucataning that to the remainder of the operations or the plants. Now, you know, with that said, there's a lot of variables that play into it, right? You know, and I've seen it shorter by 4 weeks in some instances, and I've seen it longer by up to 6 weeks in other instances, right? But you know, kind of that's kind of if
right.
I was in the framework, that's what we look at in terms of time to value is about the 16-week.
Right, and I would imagine a big component to that is people, right? You're trying if you're saying, hey, it's not the technology, man. It's that culture and that human element that is involved. If everything's sort of rowing in the same direction, I would imagine the results, the benefits, the results, boom. I would imagine much quicker.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's, you know, listen, when we talk about technology in this space here, Scott, I think it's really important to talk about one thing here, and that is proliferation of various IoT solutions in manufacturing.
Oh.
And that,
oh.
You know, I will tell you, when we think about, you know, we talked about, well, we didn't talk about COVID, but when we talk about COVID solutions, right, from our perspective, right, and which is part of what we call our smart spaces area of solutions, when I'm talking to executives within IT and within the business, whether it's, you know, COVID solutions, whether it's, you know, core IoT solutions, supply chain solutions, those have to be looked at as inputs, meaning endpoints that integrate into the overall IoT platform that is running your operations in the plant. That is extremely critical because it's going to enable you to centralize and standardize the way you look at your operations, both from an IT perspective and from a business perspective. Otherwise, you're going to end up with, you know, if I have a Kawasaki and a Canuck and a Hitachi, for example, robotics and a Mitsubishi on my floor plant, I'm going to end up with four solutions right there just for robotics, right? Yeah. And you can extrapolate that there is probably, you know, 300-400 and even more than the major OT devices on that shop floor. I'm going to end up with an integration nightmare end up doing that, right? To get all these, to get all these separate solutions or desperate solutions to talk to each other, for me to look at plant level operation would become a very expensive proposition. We had that issue in the olden days in IT. We called them spaghetti charts, where you had hundreds of applications that were closed loop applications. You couldn't, you know, you had to have ASCII and comma delimited file. I mean, it was a
yes.
We standardized. We came up with solutions, enterprise services bus and service-based architectures, yes. You know, to enable visibility across the value chain. This is no different, right? And you know, as your listeners listen to this, that is one thing I worked on for many years within the IT world, that as I moved into manufacturing, you will see a ton of that, you know, on shop floors.
It's sort of interesting because I lived that. It's an ugly scene. Don't get me wrong. You got all these legacy situations and you're trying to figure out how to interact. Hey, great data over here. How do I get it over here to be able to create this great data and be able to how to figure out how to link? And you got to give it to the manufacturers in general, looking for ways of being competitive and being able to produce their products quicker and bring it to market faster. But in that zeal, you know, yeah, that looks good. Yeah, and I call it the IoT fog, right?
Yeah.
There's tons of people that are saying, yeah, we got the device. Yeah, we've got the, you know, edge. We got this. We got that. And just, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to be seeking out somebody that has a history, somebody that truly has a history that says, oh, okay, good.
And I think an advantage we have there, Scott, yeah. To be honest with you, is we're a manufacturer. We're 100-plus-year-old manufacturer.
Yeah, been there, done that, right?
So when we talk about these things, excuse me, from a Hitachi perspective, I've got these, you know, in 800-plus plants in across the globe, you know, where we've done this, you know, we've implemented a lot of this technology in-house, and now found the benefit out of it, and are saying, hey, customers, listen, come to my plant, take a look at what we've done
yes.
here, and yeah. you know, let's figure out how we make this happen for you.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not going there with a bunch of, you know, PowerPoint presentations and whatnot.
No.
And a report that's going to sit somewhere.
I can't tell you. Your the Hitachi's manufacturing base is diverse. It's not just, oh, yeah, we manufacture computers. No. You're in heavy stuff, man. You're manufacturing big stuff. It's amazing.
20,000 products. Now you just chill on that for a minute, right?
No, I can't even count that high.
And when we're talking about automotive specifically here, Scott,
yeah.
you know, you've got Hitachi Automotive Systems is a first-tier manufacturer. Our products are, you know, extremely high-quality components and whatnot that go into so many cars that your listeners are probably driving on the road today. You know, we sell the steel that goes into making the car. We sell the injection moldings. We sell the paint and the paint pigments and the paint wash. Well, listen, when we talk about the automotive industry, we're talking from somebody who's been there and been doing it for many, many years. And, you know, we'll take you to our factory. Take a look at it working in there, man. That's the beauty of it.
It's a freaking no-brainer, baby. I'm telling you right now, I would do it in a jet. Of course, I like taking tours of facilities. So eventually when this whole new normal next.
If you haven't listened to your listeners, if you haven't been in a plant, I know most OEMs actually have these tours that they do of the plants for, and they're open for the public. You just got to schedule it. Go look at it. It's so fun, Scott.
It's pretty cool. And I always get dazzled by the fact that you have something in mind and you walk on in and the thing is huge and you're going,
oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Who did that? That to me is always like a wow.
Exactly.
Oh, anyway, we got to wrap this doggone interview up. This is excellent stuff. I know that I'm going to probably push for phase two of this particular conversation just because we still hadn't covered a number of the other topics that we wanted to talk about. But let me ask you this. Are you out there? Are you out there on LinkedIn? If somebody wants to say, yeah, I want to talk to Scott.
I'm out there on LinkedIn, baby. So you just tell him how to spell the name there, Scott.
That's right. I am going to. That's it. It's S-A, put a little apostrophe, D, and it's Kanan. That's K-A-N-A-N. I'm not sure if there's many out there that have that name, right?
No, it's the most complicated three-letter first name on earth, man.
It is.
I tell you that.
It is. And if once you see the guy, flowing dark head of hair with a beautiful beard, you found him. That's him.
Yeah, and Scott, I do have to say, man, that dude on your right. Microphone. Right. I mean, I looked at that, I'm like, holy God, that dude looks like me.
That's right. I'm gonna have
crazy,
to man. just get a pair of glasses and it is you.
I love it. I love it.
It's all crazy. Right. So this was fantastic. Absolute joy. That you were on this particular podcast. Thank you very much for joining.
It's a pleasure, Scott. Thanks for hosting.
All right, you listeners out there, what we're going to do is we're going to have to wrap it up on the other side. And again, at industrialtalk.com, because Scott just sort of dropped a bunch of truth bombs, it'll all be out there. I'm overwhelmed, but I just took a master class in manufacturing, automotive manufacturing. Thank you very much there, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.
All right, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. As I look out at his LinkedIn stat card, Scott Kanan, you know he's a rock star. Just peruse his stat card out there on LinkedIn. You will not. I mean, you will be impressed and not disappointed by any stretch of the imagination. Definitely has street cred when it comes to this stuff. Yeah. So everything that will be out there on industrialtalk.com, absolutely, all the links. But I highly recommend that you get a hold of that that gent right there. And you won't be, I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed by any street. I mean, you will not. You know, mark my word for it. All right. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Reach out to people like Saad is bold, brave, and dare greatly. People at Hitachi Vantara does it. Reach out to your whole world will definitely change if you reach out to people who challenge you each and every day. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're going to have other great interviews right around the corner. Thank you, and also be safe.